Do you have stats for us?
No.
No? Okay. But I did challenge the nations about the top tens. And those that are listening, those that are here today, I want to welcome you for coming on to the ministry at glorytothenations.org. We are on the website, and we do have a contest going. We are challenging the top 10. We understand that China and Russia were the top leading nations. And then just last week, we had Spain, was it? No. What was the nations that rose up and came into the top two? Who?
France.
France was one of them. Well, I want to welcome everybody there. Okay, well, we were going to wait for Rachel to get this stuff together, and she's not together yet, so. Good thing we can cut and paste this stuff. But if you're listening today, and you logged on, and you're listening, and you're here today, it's not by accident. So open up your hearts and open up your minds and understand the message, because it's for you. I believe God has ordained by His Spirit His Word, and His Word touches those that are crying out listening to a word and wants to hear the word. So you got something here real quick?
Sure.
Okay.
Top 10.
Top 10.
U.S.
Okay, we already know that.
France, Ukraine, Great Britain.
Okay, wait a minute. France jumped up to be number one. Okay, and then we have
Ukraine
beat Russia. Russia and China were running there. Okay, so now we have Ukraine in second.
Great Britain.
Italy.
Brazil. China.
Now China.
Russian Federation.
And now Russian Federation.
Japan.
Man, we have actually four or five different countries that just jumped above them. Netherlands and Vietnam. That is so awesome. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for those nations. Well, I want to keep challenging those nations. And if you could constantly tell friends, tell two friends, and then they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends. But hey, we just had Pastor Tim come on in with his two Indians. Amen. So with that being said, we'll quickly welcome everybody. We are live going across the internet, and so the world is logged in already and listening to us, and we already welcomed them. And the Lord has been laying some stuff on my heart this week, and what has really been ringing in my heart is a scripture verse that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And I've been sharing this with Shelly for a little bit, and it's been ringing to me. But he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." All these things shall be added unto you. So it's almost like you gain something by seeking the kingdom of God. Now, I thank God for His call in my life, and some of you out there in that internet world may not know my full testimony, but my life was dramatically changed, and it took me 13 years. I was hidden in a cave, and I was hidden, tucked away for about 13 years, and then I finally just made the decision after getting beat up by God to go into ministry full time, and so now I live by faith in serving Him. And I'm looking back, and I have this this boldness that's coming out of side of me, and I take a look at the world, and the world in itself, I think, is just totally fed up with, and I want to say religion, but I don't know if religion is the right thing. Organized, maybe you guys can help me out in the audience here. What would you call it? Organized doctrine? Organized tradition? You know, you have Judaism. You have Muslim. You have 18 different Christianities. You know, you got the Baptists, you got the Protestants, you got the Catholics, you got the, you know, evangelicals, you got all these different, you got the Jehovah Witnesses. Matter of fact, I want to share a story. I had some Jehovah Witnesses come to my home the other day, and I had a chance to witness to them and share with them about, you know, the gospel. And they lit up like deer in headlights. They were so hungry to hear what I had to say. So I gave them the website, and I hope that they're logging on listening. But to make a long story short, we have so many different denominations, but yet we all serve one God. And I believe that the world is tired of the divisions. They understand it's not right. They understand, why is this, there's this great separation amongst all of us. And if you really look at the cry of the world, they're looking for unity. How many would agree with me on this one? They're tired of the divisions. Matter of fact, look at what's going on with our elections right now. They're talking about how this one was bringing all these divisions, and this one bringing all these divisions, and they're just tired of all the divisions, and they're even tired of the divisions amongst the parties and all this other stuff. And they're just so fed up with the divisions, and they're also fed up with the politics. And the life of a politic is a very interesting lifestyle, isn't it? It's nothing but trying to deceive your brother to believe and try to pass some kind of law. Or doctrine. Well, it's almost like the church today, isn't it? Think about it. Think about denominations and all that. They're trying to conform you, and they're trying to create some kind of law or some direction of lifestyle. But if your heart isn't really into it, I'm going to need another water. If your heart isn't into it, and your heart is hardened, excuse me, this is where it gets ugly. You know, how many people understand spiritual attacks too? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Tim. Thank you. We'll set us up with everything. We'll get all of it going on. We'll get the alcohol, the drugs, and everything. You know, God designed life to be free. We have all these different denominations and different doctrines, but yet they all proclaim to serve one God, the same God. Then they come into the divisions of prophets and who's the prophets, and, you know, Jesus Christ is a prophet and Muhammad Ali or whatever is a prophet. And then you have all these other Buddhists and everything else is, you know, all these prophets. You know, how about me? Am I a prophet? You see what I'm saying? In today's life, you know? And we have to understand that God has not designed us to be conformed to a doctrine. What he has designed us is to have life. And that life is what we need to find. And when I heard this, the not letting it go, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking it by force. And this is what has been ringing to me. Now, let me try to explain the second paraphrase, the second verse about the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking it by force. That means there's an attack against the kingdom of God, and that attacker is winning. Okay. Now, the whole intention of God, and this is why I'm speaking this message right now, is because the world is crying out, looking for God. Excuse me. They don't know who to turn to. They're turning to the churches. And what are the churches doing? They're giving them doctrine. What kind of doctrine? Man's doctrine. A conformity. How you should be living. Are you living a good life or a bad life? Your habits, you're smoking, you're drinking, you know, you're out womanizing, you're out walking into porn on the sites of the websites. You shouldn't be doing all this stuff. And don't do what I'm doing. Just do what I tell you to do and don't do what I'm doing. But they put a lot of condemnation on you, don't they? They condemn you. They don't make you feel too good, do they? They want to conform you, and then you have to be conformed. And if you don't do what they ask, they kind of give you the cold shoulder. Has anyone been in religion here, anyhow? Has anyone ever been around, like, the churches or what have you, or try to find doctrine? I mean, if you're not Jewish, don't look for the Judaism. Because, first of all, if you're not Jewish, forget about it. You're not going to get in. And then, you know, Catholics, if you're, you know, not married and you have children, you might get kicked out of that one. And if you're not knocking on doors on the other one, you know, they might shy you on that one. And so there's all kinds of works that you have to do in these different divisions of religion. And, you know, I just feel that the world is crying out, wanting to know God, but they aren't able to find God. And not only are they trying to find God, to have a relationship with God, but they're looking for God because something's inside of them is not right. I mean, what is the reason to look for God? Think about it. You have a sick feeling. You find out that you're sick or you're lost and you need help. So what do you normally do? You look for God, right? I mean, let's be real. When things aren't right, I'm looking for God. When I'm not happy, I'm looking for God. And so you look for God to help you. And you know what? That's actually the design of God. God wants to help us. God wants to help us. And that's why he goes around looking for the broken, contrite heart. He's constantly searching to and fro, looking for the broken and contrite heart. Because the broken and contrite heart is crying for help. It's looking for help. So the broken, contrite, okay, is crying out for God. And that person goes in and seeks an establishment that is to share them about God. And what are they giving you? Stories. They're not giving you. They're giving you politics. They're not giving you how to find God. When this message here, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things started adding unto, all these things will be added unto you. I started to do some searching. I wanted to really hear what God was trying to say to me. You know, seek ye all these first in the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And then that the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violence is taking it by force. So I said, okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First of all, what is the kingdom of God? Okay, so I had to find out, what is the kingdom of God? This is the message that God intentionally wanted to bring across to the world. I'm given the message that God wants to bring to the world. And it was the message that is intentionally meant to be given by the church too. The kingdom of God. I'm going to share something here. Okay? In Mark chapter, let me go to Mark first. Okay? I'm going to read the kingdom of God in a minute. But in Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark. If you don't have your Bibles, that's cool. I'm going to turn to the Bible real quick. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says right here. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. Now Jesus is one of the prophets in the Christian world. Okay? And remember, I'm preaching to Muslims and Asians and who else was on that list? So I want the whole world to understand the message. Okay, so Jesus, the prophet, you know, came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, a lot of people might think the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the gospel is actually good news. Good news. And he was preaching, saying, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? So the message should be about the kingdom of God. God wants to be found through the gospel message of the kingdom of God. And that's where God dwells, in the kingdom. There are realms of life. Okay? And I'm going to start sharing this because we have to come out of certain realms. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Just kind of remember that. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. This is why Jesus made it a point, and also the other disciples, because once he found disciples, he made disciples, and then they went and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And everything was the message about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a realm. It's a place, okay? And we have to seek this place. And if we don't seek this place, nothing will be added to us, okay? In this place, everything is added to you. Everything is given to you. Who wants blessings? Who's tired of fighting in a paper bag? Who's literally tired of fighting? Come on, let's be real, man. Fighting stinks. You gotta fight all the time. It seems like, geez, can't anything just go right? Now, I can give you testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies when I had issues and I even said to God, God, I can't deal with this right now. And next thing you know, supernaturally, a miracle would appear. Here's a perfect example. We owned a trucking company, right? And the truck's ready to go out on the road. And a light was out. And the welding was broken and everything else. And this driver was just a real stickler. And he's like, I'm not going out on the road. DOT's going to pull me over, and I'm going to get tickets, and I'm not paying for these tickets. And I'm like, I don't really need this right now. And next thing you know, I walk away, and I get this piece of metal, and I just put it up there. And supernaturally, this thing just, like, glued itself to it. And the hole that was punched out was smaller than the light, and the light fit right in, and it just like went all together like that. You remember that? You remember that? Supernaturally, the metal like grew and stretched, and it welded itself to the trailer. I mean, crazy stuff. Sick, norm, like wacky stuff. And I was just like, you know, praising God, you know, because I was like, I didn't need this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I was ignorant of this. I didn't realize. I was just, you know, in that place saying, praise God, you know, and Lord, you got to take care of this. I don't have time, you know. But it all started to realize in the kingdom, all these things are added unto you. We have to get into this realm. There's a realm that we have to get into. There's a place. Now, I'm going to try to describe to you this place. Has anyone ever woke up and just felt yucky? Just not happy, just feeling mopey, just kind of like, well, you were in a place. You came into a place. And have you ever woke up feeling good and like, wow, today's a good day, man. Walk outside, the weather's beautiful. It just seems like everything's like happening, right? You came into a place. You didn't realize that you came into a place. What you were doing prior affected you on how you felt that moment. We just don't realize it. What were we doing prior to when we felt bad or prior to when we felt good? You see? It put us in this place. But as that is happening, wow, I feel pretty good today. You're not really looking back to see what actually was taking place in order for you to come into this place. How many people are following me? Okay, so it's almost like if you did a good deed yesterday, all of a sudden you're being put into a happy place and you didn't even realize that you were put into this happy place, but it was because of what happened yesterday. You know, you might have done something, I don't know what, you know, and it put you in a gropey mode, you know, the next day. And we were put in a place. So Jesus made a point, and the other disciples in this book, it's called the Bible, and this book is the closest book that I'm experienced when my life was transformed. This is the only book that really bears witness is what is inside of me. I'm going to just leave it like that. So I believe in this book here. But this book here is a very spiritual book. This book here is mysteries. This book here is written by the Spirit, and you can only see it in the light. And I have to make that clear to a lot of people. How many have read the Bible and kind of was just like, huh? Has anyone ever read anything in the Bible and be like, huh? What is they trying to say here? I mean, yeah, everybody should have been at that place at one time. Have you? Have you ever read anything? Have you? Okay. Have you ever read anything out of it, or have you ever read it? Revelations is a real mind blower. Woo! Yeah. I got some good insight for that. If you ever want to sit down, we'll talk about it. But yeah. But so getting back to this, there's another scripture verse that it says it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so I want you to know that if you pick up one of these books, and I'm speaking to the world out there, and if you don't have one, log on to our website and we'll find a way to get one to you. But if you ask God sincerely in your heart, you ask God, reveal to me the mysteries of this book, He'll reveal the mysteries to this book to you. That's how awesome God is. He'll give you the mysteries of this book. And so it says here in, let me get another verse here. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, let me get my reading glasses here. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. It says, okay, let me go back a little bit further because this is where Jesus started speaking a parable. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as the sower went and threw some seed by the wayside, and the birds came in the air and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground and where it didn't have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So he started talking about this thing, and it was like a parable. And he said to them, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about that parable that he just got done reading. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Meaning, they're not going to understand it. They're not going to understand it. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so, what made them be able to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Because they came into the place of the kingdom of God. They came to a place in the kingdom of God. And it says, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And there's about sin, but I don't want to get into sin about taking you out of the kingdom of God, okay? Because personally, I don't believe in sin, okay? And that might make the whole religious sector get mad at me. And this is why my God doesn't like religion. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's taking your sinners away. You see? I don't believe in sin. I believe we live ignorant. And that's what makes us seem like we're in sin, because we live in ignorance. But when we can, like, acknowledge ourselves and come out of the ignorance, then that's like coming out of sin. But I don't truly believe that we're in sin. How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay? I believe that religion has put sin on you. Religion has called you a sinner. Or these doctrines of, you know, supposedly righteous people. But in reality, that just lays condemnation on you. You're being condemned. You're being judged and you're being condemned when God loves you just the way you are. So he doesn't judge you. He doesn't condemn you. He just wants to educate you. He just wants to enlighten you. He just wants to bring grace into your life so that you can become saved. And we're saved by grace. How many people have read that before? We're saved by grace. Sin doesn't exist. And like I said, some people might get mad at me. Some people might not like what I say because, you know, they may believe that they're sinners. They have done all their rituals to wash away their sins, and they feel embarrassed because they were duped. And they don't want to look like they did all these things wrong. Do you know how many people are going to earthly men to say sorry for their sins to be forgiven? And then the earthly men are telling them, say 50 prayers and your sins will be forgiven. Why not 51? How about 49? I mean, where did you get the number? This is what I believe, why the world has fallen away from wanting to know who God is. This is why I feel in my heart, why I has been brought up in this ministry, and pastors in here like Pastor Tim that's here tonight and others have been called to bring this message across to the world, because the message of, I would say, the gospel needs to be refined. And it's seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? And first of all, the kingdom of God is a place. Okay? You don't have to be without sin to be in the kingdom of God, because first of all, we don't have any sin. There's no sin. Did you do anything wrong? You see? Did you do anything wrong? We didn't do anything wrong. Where's this sin come from? I love the thing where we were born in sin. We were born in sin. Who says we were born in sin? That's just crazy, isn't it? We were born in ignorance. We just didn't know. We didn't know. And this is what I feel that needs to be refined. How many of us realize that knowledge has increased, and now we change the way we think, and the way we think back in the day is foolish because we have grown into a deeper wisdom? Like, just even like, trying to use as an example. Can you figure out any examples where, how about certain products? we found out later that they're harmful for your health. Before, you know, smoking cigarettes was okay and all that stuff, and then later on they found out, oh my God, you can get cancer from it, you know. And so now, because of knowledge has increased, we realize that those things weren't as good for us back then as they were before. I mean, we went to, what was that place we went to? We found out that candy and stuff they were making, and the girls and I, we went to some kind of thing in Philly or something. And they were making some kind of stuff, and it wasn't good for them. And then they found out that it was, like, I don't know, they were putting tar and stuff in candy. Back then, and then the FDAC came in and did the health inspections and stuff and found out that that stuff's real bad for you anyhow. But what I'm trying to say is we increase in knowledge, and as we increase in knowledge, we have to renounce the old things and accept the new. And I don't believe many people want to accept the new. And how they're accepting the new in these, I want to say, controlled, refined religions is they're accepting people's habits. They're saying, well, your habit's okay, so we'll accept your habit. And they're accepting ways of life and the way people live and all that. And that's fine, okay? That's great. Let's all get along together, okay? And then they build their organizations with, you know, song, shows, plays. They have, you know, youth groups, and they have all these different organizations to help out. And, you know, some go there to do business and interact with other people so they can maybe, you know, do the corporate thing and switch so they can interact and in work and all that, find jobs with one another and all, and create, you know, a public atmosphere to supposedly be good, and you can trust everybody because they're God people now. but they're supposed to be good people, you know. Not, but. The main thing is that they're missing the root of the gospel. They're missing the truth. No one is getting delivered. No one is getting out of their funk. You have people that are coming in looking to be healed and delivered and set free. And no one is being healed, delivered, and set free. The church don't come and help them. They send them off to a psychiatrist. Hey, go see this medical guy. Hey, we have Dr. So-and-so here in the church that can help you. He's a Christian, and, you know, he'll help you out with your problems. And then we have, you know, this doctor, psychiatric guy over here, and, you know, we can intertwine and, you know, while you're at it, maybe since you're a shoe salesman, you can sell them some shoes while you're at it. But they're missing. It became business. Look at what is happening around the world. Has anyone been seeing the news lately? Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? And look at all the division. And where's the message? What about God? What about God? Is anyone talking about God? They might be talking about the apocalypse, the end of the world. You know, get ready, be prepared, the end of the world's coming. But there's a message that the world is really seeking, wanting to know God and coming into a place called the kingdom of God. And this message has been ringing true since the beginning of time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added unto you. And it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is truly a mystery. I mean, our whole mind, because we're ignorant, not in sin, okay? We're dark, okay? And we can't see the light because we're not educated in the light. That's the only reason. Okay? When you're ignorant in darkness, you can't see the light because you're not trained or knowledged in the light. For example, here's a perfect example that we have to really see. In order for us to receive, you have to give. Has anyone ever heard that? Like good karma? You give, it'll come back to you. It's good karma. Okay. In order to be exalted, you humble yourself. Okay. And that's proven. You come in humble and meek, and next thing you know, people recognize your humility and your humbleness, and they want to be your friend, and they're like, hey, come on up, you know, and then they start, you know, exalting you up. But if you come in all prideful and then like, hey, I'm the man, I know everything, what happens? You get shunned. They shoot you down. So there are certain mysteries, laws in the spiritual world that are true. Has anyone ever experienced the the know-it-alls? Anybody ever run into a know-it-all? What do you want to do to that know-it-all? You want to run from them, right? Smack them around a little bit? And then run? It's like, you don't want to hear from them anymore, right? Has anyone ever experienced that?
Yes.
Okay. And you have to say to yourself, why do you feel that way? Because it's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So there are mysteries in the kingdom of God, and if we follow those mysteries, all these things will be added unto you. Now, I want to read a scripture verse, because this is where God began to start with me. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to pedal back a little bit. Oh, man. Okay. Verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. And the reason why I read that there is because you cannot live in two different realms at the same time. You're either in one realm or the other realm. And God is in the kingdom of God. So if everybody is trying to find God and want to know my God's in the kingdom of God. And this is why I'm going to commit my life to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God until I die. Because the world wants to know God. And I can't let them know who God is until they get into the kingdom of God. And that's where they'll find God. And if they don't come to a place of repentance, meaning changing the way they're thinking, not sorry for your sins, because sins don't exist. It's changing the way you're thinking. If you don't change the way you're thinking, you are not going to come into the kingdom of God, and you're not going to know my God. My God is the true living God, and my God is the one who does miracles, signs, and wonders. He's the one who does favors in your life. Now, the crazy thing is God is not a respecter of person. So you probably already came into the kingdom of God and you didn't even know it. Did you ever have a good day? You came into the kingdom of God. Did you ever come into a day where things worked out really well for you? You came into the kingdom of God. You came into this realm that I'm talking about, but you didn't know about it. You didn't know that you came into it, and you came out of it again. How would you like to come into it and stay in it? See, to come into the kingdom of God, you don't need a special ticket. Okay, you don't need a label or a name. To know God, you don't need to be born in a certain sector or a certain geographical location or a different dimension of the world. Okay. To know God is just changing the way you're thinking. To come into this realm called the kingdom of God is a matter of changing the way you're thinking. And I want to tell those that are here and those that are listening, you have to believe me when I say there is no sin. Because one of the most important things to come into the kingdom of God is to be free from condemnation as if you did something wrong. And one of the most difficult things for all of us is to set us free from guilt and shame as if we did something wrong. We might be in a position right now because we're not feeling as blessed as others. We might be suffering in areas of our lives because of the fact that we are, and we tend to blame ourselves for those certain situations when the reality is we're reading too much into it. Let's not read into anything anymore. Let's just cut our whole entire life completely off. And then let's start now. And if we can do that, we can come out of condemnation. Okay, because we can't go back and fix yesterday. We can't try to figure out why things are the way they are. What we can do is start new. And this is how you come into the kingdom of God. Starting new. All things have been made new. And so if we can just cut your life and just cut along the dotted line, okay? And let's say you got this piece of paper here where you got your physical body and, you know, you got your feet and then you got a dotted line and yesterday and everything else is down below. And you just cut along that dotted line and that piece of paper there just like fell to the ground and just melted and disintegrated. And now all you have is from that dotted line up now. That's where we need to start living. Okay, so that we can come into the kingdom of God. And these are mysteries. And it's been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And in order to know God, to truly know God, not in the form of doctrine. I could tell you all kinds of stories about God. I could tell you stories of the Bible, and you'll get an idea of how God was back in Egypt time and all that other stuff. And, you know, but I'm talking about now. I'm talking about knowing God now. I'm talking about living in a place now. I'm talking about living in a life where all these things are added unto you. I mean, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want your life changed, if you don't like certain things that are happening and you feel like you keep hitting these walls and you're not being, you know, blessed, so to say, then you got to listen to what I'm saying. You got to hear what I'm saying because all these things will be added unto you. And one of the hardest things is to believe. One of the hardest things is live by faith. One of the most difficult things is to live by faith and believe. And if I can challenge you tonight or today to follow through with cutting your life off, forgetting about your whole entire life, forget about it. Forget about your brother. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about your ancestors. Forget about what you did yesterday. Forget about your condition. Forget about your financial situation. Forget it all, because when we look back, we tend to murmur and complain. But if we're starting new, we can enter into this realm that I'm talking about. How many of us looked back in our lives and got disappointed? Did it bring up some complaints in our heart? Okay. God is supernatural, and He's a spirit. And the true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And this is what's happening, because His Spirit is being poured out and He's looking for the true worshipers. And the true worshipers are looking for God. And the true worshipers are running into the kingdom of God. They know the mysteries, and the mysteries are pulling them into the kingdom, because the world is struggling and they don't want to struggle with the world. We know we're set apart. those that are listening and those that are here, understand that there is something inside of them that is special and they've been set apart, or you would never be looking for God. That's the unique thing. It's almost like myself. I know that there's something inside of me that's special. I know that there's something that God is calling me to do, or I would never leave everything, walk away from everything, and commit my life to this. Because it's foolish to man. It's just foolish. And I'm committing my life to live by faith. Completely, 100% by faith. So in order to have all these things added unto you, you have to live in the kingdom of God. And I understand this. Now, the kingdom of God is one thing. It's called, and I have a scripture verse here, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And that's why I touched on cutting off at the dotted line and dropping everything and leaving it, because of the fact that we have to come into this place of righteousness. There is no sin, okay? Your righteousness and the righteousness that religion tries to put on you, okay, is a righteousness formed by man. It's not God's righteousness. God's righteousness is simplicity. It's basically you just living your life free. That's really the righteousness of God. Not judging yourself, but living a place of freedom. If you really want to understand the righteousness of God and have his righteousness, then just cleanse yourself. Just put yourself in that position that you didn't do anything wrong. Accept the grace of God and accept his love and the fact that he doesn't judge you, and just be free. Start fresh. Start without sin, because there is no sin. You see? And there is no one around you to condemn you in sin. Now, let's take the Christian world, the Christian sect. I don't follow all of them. I just kind of know what the Christian sect does about sin. And they used the prophet to die on the cross as the one who took away your sins. But the reality of it was the sin was taken away from even before that prophet came. And then they would do demonstrations like sacrifices. But then there's a part in the Bible where God says, I don't desire anyone's sacrifice anymore. All I desire is for you to obey the commandments that are written on your heart. And so if we can just like cut at that dotted line and drop all the nonsense and start fresh, let God start working in your life. We got to break away from the curses, I call them. We got to break away from the stuff that is like voodoo in our lives. You know, there's like curses and witchcraft and all this other garbage that is just robbing us from our destiny and robbing us from our future and robbing us from us coming into the supernatural. Now, God is a spirit, and we have to worship him in spirit. We have to understand in spirit. So naturally, you can't reason. And why I say this is because I'm going to tell you some things, and it's going to make you very hard to believe. But it's because you're trying to reason. You can't reason in spirit. You have to just listen to it by faith. You have to believe by faith and apply it by faith. Faith is, you know, I'm not really sure, but I'm going to believe. So if I had to narrow down what kind of faith is, what faith is you saying, well, I'm not really sure, because I can't see it or prove it, but you know what? I'm going to believe, right? So that's a good demonstration of faith. All right. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture verse down. It says here, after he says, no one can serve two masters. So for either you're going to hate one or love the other, or you're going to be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve both. And this is one thing that we have to realize. We can't serve both. So we can't live in both realms. I love it when you have good days. I love it when you're blessed. I love when supernatural things happen in your life and miracles happen. I like it when you get checks in the mail and you didn't really expect that check and you're blessed. And I like it when favor comes in your life. I like it when, you know, where there is no way, there's a way. You know, how many people have run into blessings? So you understand what blessings are. All of a sudden, someone gives you tires. You didn't need tires. You know, all of a sudden, the immigration papers come through or whatever it is. And then the visas are coming in. Bam, all of a sudden, woo, hallelujah, right? So we get these blessings. I'm happy. You have them because you lived in the kingdom. But you came out of the kingdom. Because all of a sudden, and you're driving down the road and your tire blows out. All of a sudden, the paper's held up for 2 more weeks. And it's like, what the heck? And you go apply for and all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. You know, we came out of the kingdom. I don't want to be in and out, in and out, in and out. And the only reason why we're in and out, is because
we're sinners.
But there is no sin. We don't have the knowledge. We are lacking a knowledge. Not only are we lacking a knowledge, but we're lacking a discipline in knowledge. Now I'm going to share something with you, and it's simple as all heck. But it's almost impossible for us to discipline ourselves to believe it. I'm going to read this real quick. Just see if we can kind of stretch it a little bit. We'll cut off the front end. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add anything to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So what it's saying here is, you know, God knows exactly who you are, what you're all about, what you need, everything. And not to worry, because he takes care of the things that can't take care of themselves. And for some reason or another, he supplies all the needs of those that can't take care of themselves. So he referred it to the flowers and the grass and all that other stuff. Now, let's be honest. Doesn't that sound like a fairy tale? Come on, let's be real. Doesn't it sound like fluffy and goofy? Like, oh, come on. Don't be worried. And you had to use the flowers and the grass, you know, and the birds. I mean, really. But at the same time, it's true. It's like, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? And the fact is that we don't even understand that we know God and that he loves us. We have to accept some things. And when I say to you, repent, change the way you're thinking, not I'm sorry because you're a sinner, because you don't have sin, but change the way you're thinking because the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm telling you that there's a place right in front of you that you have already entered in and didn't know it. You had your good moment, but you walked right the hell out of it. And then you had your bad moments. And you have more bad moments than you have good moments because of the fact that your mind is wired a certain way. Now, this is a mystery. But just like the law of gravity, if I'm going to drop something, it's going to hit the ground, right? It's given, unless I go against the law of gravity. But it's given. And it's the same thing with this message I'm giving you today. It's a given. If you do it, it will happen. One of the most difficult things is applying faith and believing in something that just sounds so corny. Like, don't worry about tomorrow. Because you know what? You know why? We're all alone. That's what makes us in sin. We're ignorant. We're not all alone. If you could open up your eyes and see all the multiples of the heavenly host and the supernatural love of God and everything else that is in your life, how many of us have come into areas in our lives that could have been devastating? Okay. Right, there you go. That's why I used that example, because 99.9% of the chosen ones of God came into those near life situations where it could have been really bad. Something dramatic could have happened in their lives and it could have really been bad. And it could have been as simple as a drug overdose. Could have went really bad. Or a car accident. Or, you know, swimming accident or anything. It's just good. A health situation. But you were saved. How did you get out of it? How did you come through? You know, it's because you were like that little grass in the field, you know. There was something supernatural that took care of you. But we don't see that stuff, you know. We don't pay attention to this stuff. And I want us to start paying attention to the supernatural so that we can come into the kingdom of God and understand the mysteries and rewire our thinking so that we can come to a place, and then all these things will be added unto us. Because I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violence is taking it by force. Now we got to find out what the violence is and find out what is taking us out of the kingdom of God. Now, if this here says, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow are thrown in the oven, and more faith to you, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. One of the violence is worry. I'm going to ask you something. And let's be real honest. How much worrying are you doing? Think about it. Worry comes in all different sizes and shapes, too. You want things. If you don't, you're dead. So it's natural to want. I want a lot of things. I want things to be changed in my life. I want people in my life to be changed. I want to live in the kingdom of God. So if I have these wants, what is robbing them? I'm afraid that they're not going to come around. I'm concerned that they're not going to happen. So what am I doing? There's a degree of worry that is inside of me, a concern. I'm worrying. There is a degree of worry that is inside of us that we have to be set free of in order to come into the kingdom. And sometimes we handle a lot of situations well. Sometimes, you know, you would look at some people and think that they're not worrying at all. And they got everything under control and they're taking day by day and they're relaxing and they're okay and cool. But then there's a point where worry starts turning into something else. It starts turning into a bitterness, an anger, a resentment, a hatred. It all starts with worry, believe it or not. And as we can become free from this worry, this fear, because fear is a form of worry, we're afraid. We're afraid about a lot of things, and we don't realize how much fear we're carrying. And in this, it's taken us out of the kingdom of God. So we have to fight this fight. It's a spiritual warfare. We have to fight these things in order for us to overcome and get the things, all these things added unto us. How many of us want things? I want them. I want them, and I want them now. I want it all. I could give you a big list of how many things I want. And there's nothing wrong with wanting things. You know why? Because if I want them, and God is in me, don't you think that he put those wants in me? You gotta get rid of the devil. You know, everybody's like, you're like in sin and you're evil and you're wicked. And, you know, that's religion. Religion wants to paint you out wicked and want to put an evil heart on you. And your heart is deceivingly wicked. And you're just the thing, you shouldn't want anything. And, you know, you shouldn't have lust. That's lust. If you want that, that's lust. If you want that, that's lust. No. What's wrong with having a really nice big tow truck? Brand new. What's wrong with having a nice home for that beautiful bride? You know? Like, what is wrong with having a perfect relationship? You know? What is wrong with having those? You know, right away, you know, you better start beating yourself for feeling that way. Wait a minute. If my heart is in a place where I want to seek God and I want to seek the kingdom of God and these wants are there, then they're his. They're his wants. I want us to be blessed. I want us to be blessed. And the thing that really disturbs me is seeing us getting robbed. Now, I look at my life and I laugh at it because I'm stepping in a realm of faith right now. And I'll be honest, you can look at me and say, wow, this guy must be a real hypocrite because he's got nothing. And he's talking prosperity in the kingdom of God, right? But I do have it. I have more than what you can even possibly imagine. It just hasn't materialized yet. And how I know I have it already is because I have the peace and joy. See, when you can uphold a level of righteousness, which is one of my first things that I overcame, and the way I overcame was I had to cut the dotted line and let it all wash away. And realize I didn't do anything wrong. Do you know how many times I've been put and judged and condemned by many people who meant a lot in my life? And that would take a toll on you. Now I look at you and I see a lot of individuals trying to condemn you in one way or another, where you should be doing this and should be doing that and that. And it's like, that's not in you, right? So why should that guilt be put on you? And those are the things that you have to just cut off. It's almost like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, have that place in your heart that you're entering into the kingdom of God. You're almost there. When you can cut that stuff off and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, you're there. You're at the threshold of the kingdom of God, where favor will come into your life more so than you can even imagine. And then socialize yourself with people who won't put condemnation on you. Because if you keep surrounding yourself in that realm, it's going to be hard to get righteousness. And then how quickly do we condemn ourselves? My situation is not good. Right there, we're condemning ourselves. And how many times have we looked at our situation and said to ourselves, it's not good. Where I'm at, what I'm doing, it's not good. We're already condemning ourselves spiritually, subconsciously. We're walking in a realm that is not righteous. It should all be good. And if we can start turning our ways and seeing the way we see things and not judge ourselves in that realm and come into full righteousness, then we just work on the peace and the joy. We have to learn how to operate in peace and joy. And listen, right now it's a big mountain in all of our lives. But we can overcome this and start climbing this mountain and chip at it and get through it. And then eventually we come and enter into the kingdom of God. And this is the gospel message. How to enter into the kingdom of God. And when you get into the kingdom of God, then you can dwell in there. And then you'll be walking and dwelling with God. Right now, I'm not too concerned about you knowing God. I'm more concerned about you casting down the violence that is taking the kingdom of God by force. Warring with that and casting it down and destroying the works that is taking you out of the kingdom of God. And if I can bring you in the kingdom of God, you'll be coming into a place where all of a sudden God just begins to appear right before you. My God, not one that is made by idols and imaginations. I'm talking about the real living God, the one that does miracles and favors into your life. Come talk to me in about 20 years, you'll see a big difference. Talk to me in about 10. Talk to me in about 5. You'll see what I'm talking about. I have experienced many, many miracles in my life already. Tim knows we traveled around the world and we've seen supernatural miracles just speaking the message of God. But I'm talking about personal miracles in your own life. It's nice to see God, you know, do some great miracles in people's lives and heal them and create creative miracles, watching eyeballs show up in their head and all. I mean, really crazy stuff we saw. But it's nicer when you have miracles in your own life. You see? I could sit here and talk all day about just having the miracle of having food on our tables. But at the same time, how about having a miracle in your own life? Wouldn't you like to have somebody just give you a truck? Huh? Set everything up, and it can happen. Wouldn't you like somebody to just give you a home? Have it all prepared? How do you know? Maybe when she comes over, she already has one. You don't even know it. And she's handing you the keys. God can do far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine. But he can't do it if we're not in his place. We have to get into his house. We have to get into his place. We have to get into the kingdom. If we're serving another God, how we expect the true living God to work with us. If we're serving mammon, then we have to have mammon or whoever the heck the other God's name is deal with us. And that one just wants to destroy, kills, destroy, ruin the whole nine yards. It's a mystery. And I don't expect anyone to really believe or understand the mysteries right off the bat. But I do hope and pray that my sincerity of me standing here like a fool, speaking my heart out, trying to show you and convince you that there is a truth. And if we can just change the way we see things and change the way we're thinking and begin to renounce those things that are stealing from us, those things of violence, which is fear and worry. We have to lose a life. We have to learn to lose our life to gain one. Has anyone ever heard that before? Lose your life to gain one? And we have to take risks and chances and, you know, and just walk with a hope. And if we grumble and complain and it's only because of fear, of uncertainty, and we're fearing tomorrow, and we're fearing everything that we do to the point where our heart gets hard, we're coming out of the kingdom. Don't expect God to do anything for us. We're going to be putting our face to the millstone and grinding ourselves all day long, never entering a rest, never entering our dreams, our hopes, our desires. And all we're going to do is be like taking like a chance, like a crapshoot. We're going to live in a life that we've always been living. One day we're in the kingdom. One day we're out of the kingdom. One day we had a good one because somehow or another we weren't fearing and we weren't worrying that day. We actually had a good day that we weren't worrying and we weren't fearing, and for some reason or another, it put us into a kingdom living that day. And then all of a sudden, we were fearing and we were worrying because we brought up something that started troubling our heart, and then it took us out of the kingdom. And then those curses and all that other garbage came on us. I want to end this message with a challenge. Those that are listening, those that are around the world, I want you to know my God. It's not a religious God. It's not a doctrine. If you put any kind of label on me, what would you call me? A spiritual love of God, man. Tim came up with one. What was that, Tim? If they called us, what would you label us? I know there's an ancient term that Jim knows. What is that? Gnostic. Okay. There's an ancient term that defines our doctrine or tradition or sect, and it's called Gnostics, and that's what we're known as, Gnostics. I just found this out. And Gnostics are ones who believe that God dwells within, and the kingdom of God is within the person, which is true. Your whole life is within inside of you. Everything that you're made up of is inside of you. And then there are forces that are trying to rob, steal, kill, and destroy your life. And that's a given. And you can't deny that. There's misfortune. And that misfortune is not by accident. It's because sin. It's because of not knowing. It's because of not knowing. If anyone asks me what sin is, I will define it as not knowing. And if we're going to be saved by knowing, if we're going to be saved, we're saved by grace. And grace is knowing, having a knowledge of knowing the mysteries. And so I realized what we are. We're Gnostics, but that's an ancient term. For today, I would say we are seekers of the love of God, the seeker of God. So I would be a seeker of God. And if you ever wanted to say, hey, you want to give your life to this message, you too can call yourself, I'm a seeker of God. I just want to seek God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And to be honest with you, that's the greatest commandment. Love God, seek Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your brother as you love yourself. And we should love one another, not judge one another. Because if we truly believe that you are a seeker of God and God is in you, then there is no judgment because you're living Him. And who can judge God? That's right. So who am I to judge you? If you are seeker of God and you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, who am I to judge God? Because God is you, in you, moving you, breathing you. Your law is written on His heart, and your heart is in you, and you're reading it. And so I hope the world begins to start understanding this ministry and this message and tell their friends, because the world, I believe, is hungry for this. I'm going to share something with Brother Tim after this. But just as we have this movement going on right now in our election and our world and all, this movement is almost a metamorphosis of what is happening right now. Yes. Metaphor. Yes. Metaphor of what is actually happening right now. It's not by accident that it's this year. It's not by accident that it's happening at the same time. You see? Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. They want truth. And that's what it's happened. That is what's happening now. It's not about having a concert. It's not about having, you know, all these different, you know, organizations and, you know, self-help groups and stuff like that. It's about understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. You want to be free of your depression. Those that are out there, they want to be free of their depression. Because to be honest with you, depression is just destroying us. And where is that depression coming from? I'm telling you, worry and fear. You are made up of a want. And it's only right to feel that way because you're made up of greatness. And that greatness wants something. That greatness needs something. You have needs and wants that have to be met. And when they're not met, we suffer. Just the bottom line. And that's why we're sick. But I'm going to continue this message another day. If I could just bow everybody's head for a moment, I just want to end this with a thankful prayer to my Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father. God, I just want to say thank you. It's a simple thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Nothing could have taken away my depression, my anxiety, my fear, my sickness, but you and your truth, your power. It's a spirit, it's supernatural, and I'm very grateful.